You have to understand that if you are going to hop on Ozempic, semaglutide, GLP-1, whatever, strength training is more important than ever. This drug is a powerhouse appetite suppressant. Like, that's the big thing with Ozempic. It is so powerful. I know people who are just totally cool eating 500 calories a day. No cravings, no hunger whatsoever. No, they don't feel deprived at all. And they eat, they're literally cool eating 500 calories a day on the drug. Well, the thing is, you may at first go, that's awesome. I'll lose so much weight. Like, whoa. Oh, hang on now. That is not a good thing. That is that it's because it's so good at killing your appetite, which means people are losing muscle tissue left and right. This is why a lot of people who get on the drug and don't have their boxes checked, they may be smaller, but they're no healthier, or they may be smaller, but they still have, like, they'll call it a skinny fat look that they're still unhappy with. There's no more muscle definition. They're just like a smaller version of the same thing they were before. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Dieting from the Inside Out. If you're new around here, welcome to the show. My name is Jared Hamilton, and I am your host. And in today's episode, we are going to have the Ozempic or semaglutide GLP-1, whatever you want to call it, or whatever version you're looking at. We're going to have that episode today because the thing is, I have a very, very specific thought process I want to, and a couple of things I want you to think about when it comes to this drug, because I get asked about it all the time. We have clients that are on it. We have clients trying to come off of it. We have people who come into our ecosystem and our community, and they're a little bit uncertain about it. So my intention with this episode, I'm not going to tell you whether to take it or not to take it. I'm not going to give you any judgment or any shame or anything on that when it comes to the drug or this kind of stuff. I just want you to know a few things, because whether you are going to take it, whether you have a friend or a family member, you're thinking about it, I think it's important for you to know exactly, one, what to have in check if you are going to take the drug, and if you are going to go about it, the boxes you need checked, whether you're thinking about it or in the middle of taking it, things like that. Because again, there's enough people on the internet right now just like screaming at you about the drug and talking shit and all this stuff. And I don't think it's appropriate. And I think it's one of those things where it's up to you whether you want to embark and take the semaglutide or the GLP-1. And so it's up to you whether you want to do that. But for me, I want to have the chat where if you're going to take it or you're considering taking it, the big things you need to have in check. Okay. So that's what we're going to get into on today's episode. I actually did this on an Instagram post because a lot of times I'll test out content ideas on smaller platforms, like on Threads or Twitter. I mean, at Twitter X, whatever, stories, things like that. And if something gets a lot of traction it seems to be resonating with a lot of people, I will do a podcast on it where I can go a little bit deeper. Don't have to worry about, text count and things like that. So that's what I'm doing. This post popped off on my Instagram. So I thought I would get in here because I think I can help you a little bit more on this front. Okay. So if you see me looking down, I'm looking at my notes. So the thing is, when it comes to this drug, a lot of people see it in different forms. It's whether it be Ozempic, Wegovy, or just, it's semaglutide or GLP-1, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. We're talking about roughly the same thing. Okay. So the thing is, again, like I said, this is not a conversation trash talking it. Because here's the thing, the drug works scary well. And because of how well this drug works and how much doctors are handing it out like crazy, because originally it wasn't supposed to, the way that I understand with this drug, it wasn't supposed to be something for just anyone who wants to lose weight. It was purely more for people who have like diabetes and things like that. But right now people are taking it left and right. I know people who just want to lose 20 pounds can get a prescription for it, or people who, like, even in bodybuilding shows are like, will get a prescription for it, or people who are very far from the original case group that was intended for this drug. And it's just anyone that wants to lose weight is getting prescribed this in a lot of cases. So with that being said, there are some precautions I think you need to know. And I think then ultimately it's up to you whether you want to take it or whatever the case may be. Or like I said, even if you are taking it, these things matter more than ever. All right. So here's the thing. You have to understand that if you are going to hop on Ozempic, semaglutide, GLP-1, whatever, strength training is more important than ever. It is so fucking important. Like, I talk about how important strength training is for fat loss in general, but if you are getting on the drug, it is even more important, because the thing is, you have to understand that this drug is a powerhouse appetite suppressant. Like, that's the big thing with Ozempic. We'll just make it easier, just calling it Ozempic. It is so powerful. Like I know people, I know people who are just totally cool eating 500 calories a day. No cravings, no hunger whatsoever. No, they don't feel deprived at all. And they eat, they're literally cool eating 500 calories a day on the drug. Well, the thing is, you may at first go, that's awesome. I'll lose so much weight. Like, whoa, hang on now. That is not a good thing. That is that it's because it's so good at killing your appetite, which means people are losing muscle tissue left and right. This is why a lot of people who get on the drug and don't have their boxes checked, they may be smaller, but they're no healthier, or they may be smaller, but they still have like, they'll call it a skinny fat look that they're still unhappy with. There's no more muscle definition. They're just like a smaller version of the same thing they were before. And the thing is, you have to understand that when it comes to this, it's a lot of people are going to be wasting away a lot of muscle tissue because of how little people are eating. And I'll get into this even more here in a second. But that's the big thing is if you are considering hopping on the shot or going to take this, I'm telling you, you need to really be wary of the fact that it is a killer appetite suppressant. Like it is so fucking strong. And again, there are people eating 500,000 calories, 700 calories a day, totally fine. Totally cool eating that. No issues at all. Which that means the thing is that's not a good thing, right? That's not, think of it this way. It's with fat loss, like we've talked about before, less calories is not better, right? Yes, you have to be in a calorie deficit to lose weight, but more of a deficit more of a deficit does not equal more fat loss. Just like if I wanted to drive my car to the store, my car goes 200 miles an hour. That doesn't mean the more speed, the faster. In theory, yes. If the speed limit is 30 and I get to the store in 10 minutes, well, if I go 200 miles an hour, I'll get there faster. Well, on paper, yes. But in practicality, no. If I drive 200 miles an hour to the grocery store, I'm going to get in car accidents. I'm going to get pulled over. I'm going to go through construction zones and run someone over and go to jail. Like it's going to actually take me longer. It's the same thing in fat loss. You may think eating way less calories is going to equal more fat loss, but way less calories equals metabolism damage, equals muscle tissue wasting, which equals more metabolism damage, which equals more falling off, more binges. It's the same kind of setup. So the thing is, though, with this drug and with how popular it is and with how trendy it is now, a lot of people are going to be very under-muscled. And I know you may be sitting there thinking, well, Jared, I don't want lots of muscle. I don't want to be big and bulky. I don't want to. That's not what I'm talking about. There, just understand that if you want to have the best possible chances of losing weight and keeping it off, you need to have muscle tissue. Think of it this way, just correlate toned and muscle tissue together. Because when you say, well, I don't want to be big and bulky. I just want to have muscle tone. I want some definition. I want to look toned. Well, what do you think you're seeing? It's muscle. As you increase muscle tissue and lose body fat, muscle tone shows through. This is why, to be honest, toning isn't a thing. Like it's one of the things that we talk about in weight loss is, toned is what you use to describe a look you want. The actual art of the process of toning doesn't actually exist, right? You either build muscle or lose fat. That's really it. So for you, if you want to increase your metabolism, you need muscle tissue. If you want to live a long time, you need muscle tissue. If you want your overall health markers to be the best they can be and where you can not be injured and you can have an amazing metabolism, if you want to have amazing hormones, if you want all of your stuff to be in check, you need a lot more muscle tissue than you think. It's not just like a big bulky thing. I know that's like the old consciousness around fat loss is the big bulky stuff, but that's not the way it is. There's even research now showing the survivability of a lot of cancers is based on how much muscle tissue do you have, right? So, but even from a fat loss perspective, the more muscle tissue you have, the higher your metabolism will be because muscle tissue is actually what we call metabolically active. Like body fat is not a metabolically active tissue versus when it comes to your muscle tissue, the more muscle you have, the more calories you're burning just having it existing. But also, I bet if you're listening to this, you want to be strong. I bet you want energy. I bet you want to be able to play with your kids. I bet you want to be able to, like, if something bad happened, lift and throw your kid over your shoulder and take off running into the hospital. I bet, like, you want to feel good. Well, the commonality between all of that is you have to strength train. You have to understand this, though. The process of dieting alone will cause your metabolism to slow down. The process of dieting, you're just in a deficit, right? Like being in a calorie deficit, your body's just in burning mode. It doesn't just burn body fat. This is why you have to be careful. And if you do not go about your diet the right way, your body will actually burn, yeah, body fat and muscle. But when you say, well, Jared, I just want to lose weight, you're thinking of body fat. I guarantee you, I'm assuming, just making a big assumption, you're not listening to this, say, I want to look the exact same and feel the exact same. I just want to weigh less, right? You're probably like, well, I want my clothes to fit better. I don't want a muffin top anymore. I don't want to be self-conscious. I want my body fat down. Well, if that's the case, you need to be strength training more than ever, because it's going to make sure your metabolism stays increased and elevated during the process of dieting, which will slow down your metabolism. It's this little secret thing that, not even secret anymore, but it's this big thing that most people overlook because it's not sexy or exciting. But if you are going to hop on the Ozempic semaglutide GLP-1 train, you need strength training more than ever, because you are more than likely going to be under eating because of how much of a powerhouse this drug is. Okay. So it's more important than ever. Let me make sure I'm covering all my notes here. But because at the end of the day, strength training is super important for fat loss in the first place. But in general, if someone is going to hop on the drug, it's more important than ever. Okay. Second, we need to have a conversation around food noise. Okay. We need to have a conversation around like what food noise actually means, because one of the big reasons this drug is the way it's marketed so much is because of food noise. I actually just did a giant like workshop or webinar on how to quiet the food noise. Cause here's the truth is we do this with clients all the time. We silence all the food noise with our clients without having to take any medication. I've been doing it for a long time, way before like the term food noise was trendy. That's what's crazy right now is the term food noise is really trendy right now. But anyone who struggles with food noise understands that, like, I know what that means. It just won't stop. The thing is, though, with this drug, it does a good job with it. It literally destroys a lot of the things that cause what we call food noise in your head while you're taking it. The problem is, and we'll get into this in a minute, well, what happens when you quit taking it, right? If we never did the actual internal things that cause the food noise to shut off, then it's no wonder when we quit taking the drug, it comes back, right? So, but again, I'll touch on that in a second. So we needed to define though what food noise is, because if someone says, well, I just want my food noise to go away. Well, hang on. What's that mean? For some people, food noise is hunger. For some people, food noise has nothing to do with hunger. It's just cravings. For some people, food noise is every time they have a bad day, they turn to food. Or if they're sad or anxious or stressed, they turn to food. For others, it could be, once I open the bag of chips, I literally can't stop. For some, it may be like it's like the food calls them. We've had clients when they start my program, they've used those words, like the food just calls my name. Well, that's a relationship with food issue, right? So we have the way that I view it is food noise is the side effect to the actual root cause of the problem, right? So I actually have, and I'm thinking about, if you guys want this, tell me in the comments below, if you want me to do a whole podcast on this, because I've really come up with 6 reasons for food noise. Or food noise comes down to cravings, hunger, feeling uncontrolled around food, binge eating, all 4 reasons, always thinking about food where you just can't quit thinking about like your next meal, or running to food when you're anxious, stressed, or emotional, right? I literally had I did that workshop the other day, and I asked everyone live on the workshop, I'm like, raise your hand if you struggle with food noise, and everyone's hands went up. And I go, cool. I think I have it boiled down to food noise comes down to like 6, could be 6 different things. And I asked everyone on this workshop, I go, and I gave them that list of 6 I just gave you. And I go, is there anyone on here who their classification in their head of food noise did not just get hit? Not a single hand was raised. So I feel like I've really got it dialed in really well. But here's the thing though, everyone has a different opinion on it. If I were to go ask 100 people what's healthy food, I would get everything from, well, if it doesn't have sugar, I would have some to say, oh, if it's low calorie, some would say, well, it can't be processed. Well, oh, anything organic, right? Like it's too arbitrary. Same thing with food noise. Like you may be listening to this and like on that workshop, it was the same thing. I said, yeah, all right, who struggles with food noise? Well, what's that mean for you? And someone says, once I start, I can't stop. The other person is, I'm just always hungry. The other person says, I'm never hungry. I just have cravings. We're talking about so many different things. So for me, I would, instead of just addressing the side effect of, let's get rid of your food noise, I would rather say, well, wait, what's causing your food noise? Is it that you never know how to handle your cravings and they won't stop? Is it that you're always hungry because you're eating too little? Is it because you feel like you have no control around food because you have a bad relationship with food? Is it because there's binge eating going on or emotional eating? Like, there's all these different reasons. So again, that's not what this episode of the podcast is about. Again, if you want, tell me in the comments or in the description or wherever you can, if you would like to hear me do a whole podcast, basically redoing that workshop. If enough people do, I will do it. Where I could just break down all six of the reasons why you have food noise and how to stop it. This podcast is specifically on things you need to know if you're going to take Ozempic or Wegovy or semaglutide, GLP-1 and things like that. So hopefully this is making sense so far, but we have to break down what food noise is, because whatever it is for you, we need to address that whether or not you're going to be going to the drug or not. Here's the reason why. Again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you whether you should or should not take the drug, but here's the thing. Regardless if you take it or not, you need to work on the thing. A lot of people right now they just want their food noise gone, and they take the drug, food noise is gone, but they're not doing the work in the other work, I should say, around, well, is it the cravings we need to fix? Is it the hunger we need to fix? Is it the relationship with food? Is it the emotional eating? Is it the self-control? But a lot of people are just taking the shot, viewing it as their savior without actually fixing what's underneath causing the problem. So then when they come off the shot, nothing was fixed. So all the food noise comes back. But this time your metabolism may be slower, or no muscle tissue, things like that. Because I'm telling you, you have to get to the point whether you're going to take it or not. We need to find out what's actually causing the food noise and fix it completely versus just unless you want to take the drug for the rest of your life. Okay. Excuse me. So, the other piece with that is, the way I view it this way, and a lot of people do this, like you guys know, I'm the biggest fan of therapy, mental health, emotional health, all that stuff. But if someone's just going to take the shot, but not do the other work underneath it, it's similar to taking a medication around depression, anxiety. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like depression, anxiety, what have you. But then not doing the other deeper work, going to therapy, unpacking your inner child stuff, doing the other healing work. It's one of those things where they both go hand in hand, right? And as someone who, I'm not against even like depression meds, anxiety meds. I'm not saying those are bad or not needed. They're very needed. But again, it's one of those things where we never want to take the medication and just think that's the savior, right? If you're struggling with your mental health and you need to be on a mood stabilizer, great, take it. But more than likely, you should be going to therapy. You should be journaling. You should be meditating. You should be going through your inner child stuff, maybe inner child work, and doing the healing underneath that. The answer to our solutions is not always just the pill or the shot. It helps. They have their time and their place. Again, I don't want this podcast taken out of context where I'm just sitting here trash talking all these drugs. I hope that's not what comes across, because that happens a lot. But all I'm saying is, if you're going to take the medication, you need to do the work underneath it in addition to it to really make the strides you're looking to make. All right. Next, it can make your metabolism slower. Here's what I mean by this. This drug is ridiculously good. Like, I had someone on the Instagram post that I was talking about, like, got really upset about some of these exact things that I'm saying. And I'm like, I didn't understand what she was coming at. Cause I'm like, bro, I'm literally talking about how well it works. Like, and it turns out she didn't have any issues with what I said. She had issues with how I said it, but it was a hilarious thing in the comment section of the post. But you have to understand this. It has the potential, if you take it, it can make a slow metabolism slower. Here's why. Because if you think of it this way, if you are already feel like your metabolism's slow, right? Let's say a lot of people listening to this, you're like, nope, I already feel like my metabolism is literally like creeping along. Well, now you're going to take an appetite suppressant and eat even less. What do you think is going to happen to your slow metabolism? It will go slower, right? It's why when someone comes to my program and they go, Jared, I can't eat more than 1,000 calories a day, I have a slow metabolism. We don't go, okay, 700 calories. We go, ooh, we got to fix that first. You're not ready for fat loss yet. We'll restore their metabolism, and then we'll drop back into a deficit and don't even have to go anywhere near 1,000 calories a day. But the problem is, a lot of people who are in the position of, fuck, I can't lose weight. My metabolism is tanked. I already work out a ton and under eat, but no weight loss is happening. Then they get on the drug and now they're eating even less. Well, the problem is, the simplest way to put it is just assume your metabolism mirrors your calorie intake. Super low calories, super low metabolism. Raise your calories to a higher point, your metabolism has a tendency to follow suit. This is why reverse dieting works. This is why maintenance periods are so important. This is why you don't want to camp out and live for months and months and months and months or years on end in your deficit, because your metabolism will do what's called downregulate. Guys, you have to understand, downregulating is what people confuse as starvation mode. Starvation mode doesn't exist. If you actually, because here's the thing, if starvation mode actually existed, let's go look at people who are actually starving. If you were to go look at someone in a third world country or a prisoner of war or someone who is actually in famine, they are not obese, because that if starvation mode was magically a thing where you somehow starve and the starvingness somehow makes you store fat, there would not be famine in other countries because they would just be obese, right? It doesn't make any sense. But you have to understand this. The thing that does happen is if you severely undereat, your body has what's called an adaptation response. It will adapt to the lower calories. You will blink less. You will fidget less. You will have shitty energy. Then you won't go do as many things. You won't burn as many calories. Your muscle tissue will start to wither away. You will start to slow your metabolism down as a whole, because that's just what our bodies do. They adapt to everything. But the problem is, a lot of people who are already complaining of slow metabolism and hormone issues are currently hopping on this drug and continuing to undereat, which is slowing down the metabolism even more. But here's where it gets really scary. Then they go, you know what? I'm tired of paying $1,000 a month for this supplement or for this injection, or I'm ready to come off of it. Well, now not only does the food noise come back and the cravings come back and the hunger come back and the once I start, I can't stop come back, but now the muscle tissue is not even there and the metabolism is slower than when they started, which so now the 20 pounds or 30 pounds or 40 pounds someone loses may actually now be 50 or 60 pounds. Again, I'm not trying to, please do not take this out of context. I'm not trying to fearmonger. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm trying to show you a very even keel logical approach if you are going to partake and choose to dive into using this medication, all right? And again, I don't even hop on this kind of content very often, but it is becoming so mainstream and so trendy and you are being targeted with it. And I even had someone tell me the other day about like people can buy like Ozempic franchises now, and because it's becoming super mainstream. And again, I'm not going to sit here and say whether you should take it or not. I'm not going to put any shame or judgment or any bias I have. I'm just telling you the facts of what to look out for, because I can promise you, your doctor is not going to tell you all of this stuff when you consult about taking it. They are not going to say anything about this, okay? I guarantee you, this podcast episode will be longer than your consultation, all right? So you have to understand, if you are not careful, it can make a slow metabolism slower, all right? Because most people who are taking it complain of a slow metabolism, and it's going to cause them to undereat, making their metabolism even slower, all right? So that's the big thing. Again, that's the big piece. All right. Next, protein, just like we talked about with strength training, protein is more important than ever. Now, here's the thing you have to understand, because you are going to be more than likely in a bigger deficit because of the medication. Again, people are eating 500 calories a day and totally cool with it. So you have to understand, if you are ready without the medication while you're hungry all the time with lots of food noise, if you have a hard time hitting your protein intake as a whole, I would anticipate having a harder time more so now that your hunger is completely killed. Does that make sense? Whereas if you're struggling to hit your protein numbers already, now you're on this powerhouse of an appetite suppressant that you could be cool not eating for a day or two, or you could be cool with next to no food. More than likely, again, this is individual still, but like more than likely your protein is going to be a little bit lower because you're going to be full all the fucking time. You're not going to be hungry at all. So I have heard cases though, where people get on the drug and they crave more whole foods, which is great. But again, just like strength training is more important than ever, protein is more important than ever being on the medication, because you're going to be in a super deficit, which means if you're in a super deficit, if you're in a super deficit with all this stuff, you're going to be muscle wasting, right? This is why with our clients, we don't let them go in a bigger than like a 300 or 500 calorie deficit generally, because going much bigger than that, there's not really any more advantages for fat loss. There's really a lot more decline for it because you're going to be burning muscle tissue. But again, so many people who are already not eating enough, or they have quote unquote slow metabolisms, are going to take the medication and now they're going to be under eating even more and now under muscled and now they're losing muscle tissue. This is why it's this big thing. If you're going to take it, you need to be your protein intake seriously. Just like with the same focus of we need to get you strong as fuck, you need to be really prioritizing strength training. If you are going to take the drug, you need to really be a powerhouse around your protein intake. You need to make that the biggest priority nutrition-wise, especially if you already feel like your metabolism is slow and all these things, okay? Hopefully this is making sense. And then, all right, here's the other part. Actually, my text is really small on this for my notes. This other point is you need to have a realistic conversation with yourself about if you ever plan on coming off of it and be ready. Here's what I mean by this. We have a lot of clients. Well, I don't say a lot. We have several clients who are taking the drug currently, and they sign up for coaching because they go, hey, I know it's working, but I know I want to come off and I don't know how to come off without losing all the progress they've made. I haven't done anything around how to handle cravings. I haven't done anything around my relationship with food. I haven't done anything about actually addressing my emotional responses to food. I haven't done anything around the deeper reasons behind these things that are going on that causes the food noise. And they're worried that as soon as they come off the drug, then it's all going to come back. And I'll be honest with you. Why wouldn't it come back? Sorry, my mouth is really dry. I don't think your fat loss plan should be based around like, well, I really hope this is going to work. I don't like that. Imagine signing up for my coaching program and I go, well, I hope this works for you. We're going to give it our best shot. You probably wouldn't invest in yourself and do it because you want clarity and certainty. And with, I'm assuming what you have on the line, why you want to change are some big reasons for you, for your family, for your kids, for your everything, for your happiness. Well, a lot of people are taking the medication because they're like, fuck, I'm just so desperate at this point. I want to get the weight off, which I get. But then I literally had a conversation yesterday about this with someone and I said, well, cool. So do you plan on taking it forever? Well, no. Okay. Well, what do you think is going to happen in your case with all the food noise and the cravings and stuff when you come off of it? I said, do you think it will come back? She's like, well, I hope not. I go, well, why would they stay away? If the actual root cause wasn't fixed to the food noise, your relationship with food, how you handle cravings, the way you regulate your nervous system, the neural pathways in your brain around how you cope with food and the foods that you feel like you can't control yourself. Well, if you never did the actual inner work around those things, well, logically, why would it stay? You know, the way that I think about this is think of like a dam in a river, and the water that's being held back is the food noise. Okay. In the dam is Ozempic or the drug. Well, again, by all means, take it if you want to. But if you plan on coming off of it, well, that dam is going to break. So what's going to stop the water from rushing through? Again, I'm approaching this completely logically with you, right? And that's what we have to look at, because the truth is, a few things with this drug. I know I've heard of some people that get it cheap, but like most people I know who pay for this drug are paying like four figures and up. Like I was talking to someone the other day, it was like $1,200 a month and whatnot. And you have to understand though, that if you plan on coming off of it, if you're going to take it and plan on coming off of it, you have to be careful because, like I mentioned earlier, a lot of people are actually going to not just be back where they started. They're going to be in a worse place because of the other things that I said, because their muscle tissue is going away because they're not prioritizing strength training and they're eating 500 to 1,000 calories a day. So a lot of their muscle tissue is going to go away. Because of that, their metabolism is going to be lower. Because of that, like they haven't been eating enough protein and all these things. Well, if you have less muscle tissue on you and your metabolism is slower and your hormones aren't in as good of a place now because of all these things. And then now you quit taking the medication and now all the food noise comes back with a vengeance, if we're being honest, you'll actually probably be in a worse place than when you started because of how we may have handled things while taking the medication, right? So this is why you need to have a really realistic conversation. You have a really realistic conversation with yourself is, am I going to take this forever, right? And if you aren't, be prepared. Right? Whether that be like, maybe you should work with someone like a coach who knows how to do this stuff and how to fix all these reasons for food noise from the get-go, from the stem, from where they stem from to help fix this so you can have an easier time coming off. But like the truth is, I mean, think of it this way. If like I've had someone recently, they said, well, Jared, I eat 500 calories a day and I was wanting to get a jump start on my weight loss. And then I'll just switch to sustainability after it's over. But like, in what world can you go from eating 500 calories a day and losing weight and then going to whatever normal is for you and not expecting to gain a bunch of weight? But a lot of people are going to be in this situation where they're going to take the medication and then things are going to seem great in the moment, but then we have to look long-term. Like, and here's the thing, full transparency. Like for me, I'm on TRT. I'm on testosterone replacement therapy. Like I take a shot with, it's basically smaller doses of testosterone, right? Because for me, I plan on taking it for the rest of my life. I don't plan on ever coming off of it because my testosterone was in the tank already, right? My testosterone was super, super, super low. And then I had the negative side effects in my daily life of that, but I don't plan on coming off of it. But I also don't view the shot I take of testosterone as like my savior either, because I know I still have to make sure my sleep is in order. I have to make sure my nutrition is dialed in. I have to make sure I'm strength training consistently. So for me, I don't view the shot that I take as like my savior, so to speak. I still have to do all the other work that goes with it. And the thing is with Ozempic or GLP-1 or semaglutide, whatever, you have to understand and have that realistic conversation with yourself. Do you plan on coming off of it? And if you do, what are you going to do? Like, how are you going to handle that? How are you going to like you said, like a lot of people tell me they get on it because they want to jumpstart. Well, you can't jumpstart with that level of unsustainability. If that's what's happening, you're eating 500 calories a day, 1,000 calories a day, and you're good. You lose all this weight and then you come off of it. Like there is no transition that makes it like seamless. It just doesn't work like that, at least in my experience for most people. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's some cases where that hasn't happened, but I'm talking to the majority of people. I'm talking to the overwhelming majority. Okay. So that's my thoughts. So for me, again, when it comes to this, I really hope this episode isn't taken out of context. I don't want this to come across again, like I'm trying to like fear monger your way into this, cause that's not how to do it, or shame anyone or judge anyone. I have literally zero judgment. If you want to get on this, do it, whatever. I think there are people that where there's a time and a place for it, but I don't think just anyone struggling with lose weight should jump on it. That's just my personal belief based on what I understand about weight loss and psychology and metabolism and all this stuff. But you have to understand and make that decision for yourself. But I just wanted to make this and have this content to help, whether you are considering getting on it, whether you're on it and things to be aware of so you don't like wreck your shit completely, or maybe some long-term thoughts, whether you want to stay on it forever. Because again, like I said, we have clients who got on it and they're like, fuck, I don't know what I'm going to do when I come off. And that's why they get help from us. So we can at least make that an easier transition. But again, it's one of those things where you have to keep all these things in check. So hopefully this was helpful, about a half hour in, but if you have questions, please drop them below. And like I said earlier, if you would like to hear a full length podcast of the six reasons that I've come up with that I've found that cause what we call food noise and how to handle each and every one, cause they're all different and you have to handle all of them completely separately. Let me know in the comments or in the description box if you would like that. Otherwise, I love you and I appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in to the episode. If this was helpful, please let me know. Please share this. Like I said, whether you have someone that you know is either on Ozempic thinking about taking it, or if this hit home, share it on your social medias. It would mean a lot to me. Otherwise, I appreciate you. I love you. And I'll talk to you next time.